Welcome to Nintendo Dads, episode 92. On tonight's episode, Mario made his way to Rio, Pokemon Go is in decline, and we give our impressions of Metroid Prime Federation Force, plus your questions and more. Now we will cue the music. Everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Dads Podcast. My name is Zach Erickson, and tonight is August 24th, 2016. Joining me tonight, Justin Masson's not here, but joining me in still is Jesse Waldeck. What's going on, Jesse?
Agate for spilling. Yay.
Nice. You're like the, is this like the sequel where like the main person is gone? It's like how Jeff Goldblum was like the top notch on the new Independence Day remake because Will Smith wasn't there anymore.
Right.
Is that kind of what that's...
It's kind of like that.
Nice, right on. Joining us as well, filling Justin's third seat, is, of course, I don't know, would this make you like the little brother of Thor in Independence Day? Anyways, Marty Estes, what's going on, man?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Right on.
Hoping that this doesn't mean that Justin is dead, like Will Smith in the new Independence Day.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
No, well, we just couldn't afford Justin this time.
He's getting too rich for he's rich blood now. He's too cool for us. Yeah. I don't know. Anyways, Justin's not feeling very well today, so thanks, Marty. We appreciate you stepping in and helping us out with filling that seat.
Absolutely.
Right on, man. Well, with that, we need to head straight into the news. All right. So, of course, the news is brought to us by... you know what? I have this. Justin always says this. This is how reliant I am upon Justin, is that like, oh, no, he's gone. Now I got to... Anyways, news is brought to us by 1UpBox.com. If you like to get all sorts of geeky stuff in the mail every month, go over to 1UpBox.com, and if you use the code NintendoDads at checkout, you will get $3 off your first order, which is always awesome, and they're sending all sorts of good stuff in the mail every single month, so check those guys out, and we appreciate their support of the show. Marty, by the way, what are you... I think we had you on our E3 episode.
Yes, you did.
And Reactor Radio is no longer... You guys are on hiatus for that. How long?
Yes.
And so what have you been doing with all your free, like, with all your free time, man?
Coaching my son's soccer team.
Nice.
Yeah, they finally got to the very bottom of the barrel, you know, where the people have absolutely no knowledge of the sport whatsoever. They just come watch their kid play.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, yeah, that guy, he'll be great. Yeah. He'll be great at this.
Just don't kick the ball on that side of the line. Keep it on this side.
Yeah, our first practice
that's as much as I know.
Our first practice was a couple weeks ago, and the kids are out on the field, and they're like, Coach Marty, what do we do? And I was like, well, you know, you just like a bunch of you just get together and kick the ball in that goal over and over. Just do it over and over and we'll win. It'll be awesome. Now go run some laps.
Yeah.
Water break. No, to be honest with you, since Reactor Radio is on hiatus, Overwatch has consumed a good bit of that
time. Yeah, dude. What are you playing that on?
PS4.
Okay, cool.
I'm a PS4 guy. So that's awesome. Jared from Reactor Radio, Brandon, we all play together with some other friends of ours. So that's taking up some time. And of course, summer, like being a youth pastor, summer's nuts for me. So,
oh, I bet. Yeah.
That took a lot of nights and a lot of energy. So the hiatus was partly for that. But other than that, have just been out of the podcast game. And we don't know when or if Reactor Radio will come back. So we're just kind of we are actually kind of maybe tiptoeing into that discussion. So
right on, man.
Once you stop doing something, it's really hard to get back into it.
You're right.
Yeah, yeah. That's why Roundtable stopped when it did, because I tried getting it up again and it just it sounded wrong.
Yeah.
But yes.
I do. And you know what? There, you go to the doctor, you get a little blue pill, and you'll be fine. It's fine. You'll get it up again. It'll be fine. Right on. Before we get too deep into that, let's head into the news. So Again, kind of a slow week. You know, we're kind of we're in this weird time right now where Nintendo is other than you know promoting Federation Force. Nintendo has been very quiet. We've been expecting. I think I saw something again today that some dude expects that it's going to be in September, the reveal of the NX.
I expect it in September.
I expect it in September as well. And so, like, August is very much... I guess they've started promoting... What's the other one they've been promoting that's coming out soon? Paper Mario for Wii U? Yeah. And so that's... yeah, so it's been pretty quiet other than that.
The only other game we know about.
Yeah, exactly. So, I guess what is going on that Nintendo is doing as well is the... Is they're going to PAX West, which is, when is that? September 2nd to the 5th in Seattle?
Next weekend.
Yeah. And so they've got a bunch of stuff that they're doing. I think I put a link in the show notes. Yeah, I did. So there's a bunch of different stuff they're doing. One of the big things is the Nindies at Night, which they did last year. So for the second year, they're going to be starting their PAX West stuff by showing off a bunch of Nindie games. So the list that they have here is Axiom Verge, Jotun Valhalla Edition. I think I said this before, the developers I think actually call it Jotun Valhalla Edition, but they don't know what the title of their own game is. That's not what you call it. It's Jotun. It's J-U-O-T-U-N. It's like Thor, right? It's like Jotunheim was the place with the ice world or whatever.
I can kind of say the same thing with you a while ago when I first started talking about Tokyo Mirage Sessions.
Yeah.
And I, you know, what was the name of that dark witch?
I can't remember. What was it?
You called her Tharja.
Tharja?
It's Tharja.
Is it really?
Yes,
oh, it is. I'm such a hypocrite. Okay. No, that's cool. Yeah, Tharja. There you go. So Jotun Valhalla Edition, Shantae Half Genie Hero, Severed, World to the West, Fast Racing Neo Future Pack. I didn't know there was like DLC coming to that game. SteamWorld Heist for the Wii U. And Runbow Pocket, Punch Club, anyways, a bunch more stuff. Azure Striker, Gunvolt 2, a bunch of games going to PAX East.
What happens when you take the games in random order and out of the list?
I know, right? So there's a bunch of stuff there that's going on, a bunch of indies, which should be exciting. There's also an indie lounge at PAX West. They have a booth where you will be able to play Pokemon Sun and Moon, Yo-Kai Watch 2, Dragon Quest 7. Yeah. Woo-hoo. And they are going to have a display of the NES Classic Edition of the Nintendo Entertainment System. So that's pretty exciting.
Which you still can't pre-order in North America.
Really? That is so weird.
I haven't been able to yet. The entire world has a pre-order for the NES Classic Edition except us.
Yeah, I wonder if I could go.
And I'm sure somebody will now call me out on that and prove me wrong, but that's what it feels like.
Yeah, it's weird. It is definitely weird. And it seems like Amazon has lately been having a lot of stuff on pre-order way ahead of time, so I'm not entirely sure what's going on there.
Yeah, and I've been kind of holding out on for Amazon because of the 20% off thing for Prime. But on the other hand, Nintendo and Amazon really don't have a good...
It's a weird relationship.
It is. Like they don't like to pre-order. They have pre-orders up for Nintendo hardware.
Mm-hmm.
Because they got burned on the 3D, on the original 3DS.
Oh, is that why?
I think so. Okay. I think they didn't. They expected a lot more sales, so they ended up with overstocked in the warehouses.
Huh.
Because they didn't sell because they were so expensive.
Right. Well, oh, that's right. Yeah.
Whatever place has it for pre-order first, they're getting my money.
Nice.
Right. I'm feeling like, you know, I know that's like the Christmas novelty slot item, you know, that would normally be a game.
It's so perfectly priced for it's a Christmas 30 games. Gift. Yeah.
But I mean, I know that it's going to be one of those things that people are going to, that's probably going to be out on Black Friday and people are going to buy the crap ton of it because nostalgia.
Well, that's the kind of thing that you could literally buy
of them, keeping one and then giving the others out as gifts.
That's the thing, is that it's priced in such a way that you could buy multiples and then give them to everybody, you know, sort of a gift, right? Yeah, for sure. So that's PAX West. You know, that's the only other thing really. SNES is turning 25, or it did turn 25. Anyways, SNES 25 years old. This week, so happy birthday, SNES. You don't look a day over 21. I don't know. Whatever that, whatever that means.
Have a beer.
Yeah, there you go. Go have a beer 4 years ago. next up, I'm going to play something here. Oh, I can't actually turn that down. Okay. Wait for it. Okay, I'm not going to listen to that whole thing. Where is it? Yada, yada, yada. Okay, so this is from the Olympics. I thought I had like a very easy... This clip sucks. You know what? Anyways, so Mario showed up at the Olympics. I'm going to find... I'm going to find this Mario Rio 2016 closing ceremony. Sure. I thought that clip was going to be better than it was. Here we go. So the Prime Minister... Oh, good. Now we get to listen to an ad. Oh, good. Jeez. So this was at the... this was the closing ceremonies of the Olympics. We have Mario going down a pipe. And all of a sudden, the Prime Minister of Japan shows up. What's his name? Shinzo Abe shows up in a Mario outfit, appearing out of a warp tube. Which I thought, did either of you guys watch the closing ceremonies? Did you see this in real
time? I didn't, but I wish I did.
Yeah, I was watching it with my family in real time, and all of a sudden, you know, you come, like, it's like, oh, Japan, that's kind of cool, and all of a sudden Mario's there, and I'm like, no way, that's awesome. And then, so then he, like, jumps down the warp pipe, and it goes, what, through the world? And then Mario comes out, and it's actually the president, or the prime minister of Japan rips off this Mario garb, you know, and he's standing there and like on the top of this warp pipe. So it was pretty cool. As a Nintendo fan, I was like, yes, that's amazing. And, my wife said something like, oh man, like their opening ceremonies is going to be amazing. So can you imagine like 4 years from now, we're all going to be watching the opening ceremonies, and it'll be like, you know, just like a bunch of video game references. I think it'll be really, really
I can't
cool.
wait.
It'll be super cool. There's going to be esports. Call it now. Esports will be in the Olympics.
Blast
yep.
ball.
Yep. Oh, man. Blast
go,
ball.
Go for the gold, Zach.
I can do it. I will be there. Yeah. Right on. So anyways, that was a little thing there. Apparently Pac-Man also made an appearance as well. As what's the little stupid blue cat's name that was in the he was in there and I recognized him and I didn't know who he was. I don't know. Anyways,
he's like a ninja, right?
I don't know. He's like some weird little blue cat thing. I don't know.
Is that him there?
Doraemon.
On the picture from My Nintendo News?
Yes.
Article?
Yeah.
His name is Doraemon.
What's he from?
He is from a Japanese manga series called Doraemon.
Oh, okay. So that.
So he is from his own series. How original.
Okay, cool. Very cool. So that's I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah, finally, the last piece of news, like I said, kind of a short news week, not a whole lot of news, been kind of slow, but, Pokemon Go, I think it has been long enough now that we can talk about Pokemon Go and really understand and see what, you know, what is going on. It looks like Pokemon Go, their new data suggests that they have lost roughly, I would say, 20% of their user base from when it was first released until now. And
I'm actually not surprised, even if the bugs in the game didn't exist. I think we maybe not have been 20, but I think it would have been in the 10 to 15 range.
Yeah.
The novelty is worn off.
The novelty is worn off. And the it's interesting because there's so much. What's the word? There's so much negative backlash. You know, there's so much backlash against Niantic specifically. I think a couple of things happened. First off, all the people who downloaded it because it was cool aren't there anymore, right? Who bought into the hype and then were like, whatever. They're no longer there.
I got the levels 12. I'm done.
Yeah, exactly. And what's important to pay attention to as well is that the way that this company actually did their research, they asked if people were okay. So this one is daily active users that almost got up to 45 million at one point. And now is significantly less than that. But, I think they're saying maybe 30 million. Still,
30 million is nothing to sneeze at.
That's the thing, yeah. Right? Is that 30 million is...
We had similar conversations talking about World of Warcraft. Oh, they lost 66% of their fan base for Maximum, but they're still the highest played game out there.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like,
they can't really complain.
That's the thing, right? And so, like, the thing is that's interesting is that since the game came out, they've removed features, like they've removed the tracking feature. They've kind of they built the game and the infrastructure of the back end of this game in such a way that it didn't scale very well. It really didn't scale to really high end stuff, especially the tracking, how the tracking worked. So they pulled some features out
and made a lot of grind needed to level up past 20.
Yeah, exactly. I think I've been at level 19 for a long time. Like I haven't,
I'm still 16.
Yeah. So, and I kind of, once you catch all of the Pokemon that are not, or all of the common Pokemon and the ones that are not super rare, and all you have left are the rare ones, catching Pidgeys and Rattatas all day long and maybe catching one other one is not nearly as satisfying as going through and catching that original, you know, the main common or the commons, right? The common ones.
I mean, the way I look at it is kind of from maybe an opposite end. I think this 20% that was lost, or the 20% you get because a parent downloads it because their kids are doing it, or they saw it on a news report or in a magazine and it looked cool, but then it wasn't what they expected it to be, you know, or they didn't have any long-term connection to the franchise.
Yeah.
You know, they're not Pokemon fans from way back. So you've got this 20% of people who just wanted to be a part of the new fad.
Yeah.
And now that, and keep in mind too, I mean, look at this data. It goes from, July through August 16th. Kids are going back to school.
Yeah.
And so there may be some of that, that's going along with them. And you're tracking that for a month, and yeah, there's a decline, but most of the decline happens at the end of July through August 16th.
So, right. Yeah.
You know, school may be a factor, or sports, you know, getting back into school sports or something like that. But I just think it's the 20% of the new, you know, I've got to try the new thing and now I'm moving on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And on the other hand, and kind of playing off of what Marty just said, those 20% who were just there for the fad wasn't going to be forking over any money anyway. So they weren't really vested.
Yeah. That's the thing.
Where I have given them money. I feel invested. I want to see this thing succeed. I want to see it improve on itself, and I want to enjoy it more.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, even just today, I think they announced it, or they released, was it today or yesterday? They released the patch that now will do like an appraisal of your Pokemon.
I think it was either late last night or this morning.
Yeah. And so now you can go in, and for those of you who don't really know the ins and outs of Pokemon, every Pokemon has individual values, or basically it's the Pokemon stats. And now your team leader of choice, will show up. I guess I'm Team Valor, so Candela, I think is her name, shows up and is like, I tested it just before the show, and my most powerful Pokemon my highest level one is a Snorlax. And she's like, wow, your Snorlax's stats are amazing. I've never seen, like, apparently I have really good Snorlax. I don't know. And so
my highest CP is a Flareon, but he's tiny.
Oh yeah,
she's like 2 kilograms.
So yeah,
she goes, amazing stats, but he's small.
No, you're like, oh, thanks.
Oh, that's what she said. Thank you.
Yeah. I don't even know what that means. That's what she said.
You're not supposed to.
Yeah, yeah. Amazing stats, but small.
Ask your mom later.
Yeah, I think that's our show. That's our show title right there. Amazing stats, but small. Yeah. So that's definitely I think that they are the long term, like from here forward, they're a month and a half in, or really, yeah, they're just a little bit over a month into this game. It feels like the hype has died down considerably.
Has it only been 6 weeks? Oh my God.
Yeah. It's only been a month, dude.
It feels longer than that.
Yeah. And so it feels like they need to do something to inject excitement into this game. Early on, they said they didn't want to put in, they weren't going to put trading and battling in to the game initially because they wanted people to go out and catch things. And I also think it probably wasn't ready. Like, that's obvious as well. But I feel like for this game to slow the decline, or at least to, like, I think that they do need to put in trading and battling between friends fairly soon. Because otherwise it's just going to, I think they're going to have a hard time if they don't have a reason for people to keep coming back.
Especially with school starting, they kind of want to get in on that.
Yeah.
Because now you got the kids getting together where they ordinarily may not have during the summer.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think as well, like you said, like for me, I'm going back to school for my last school year, hopefully ever. Goodness grief. Goodness grief. Is that a thing that people say?
It is now.
It is now. I'm going back for my last year of school. And I'm like, hey, you know what? The school campus is actually one of the best places in the city to go play Pokemon Go. So maybe I'll get back into it a little bit more while I'm on campus. But I'm just looking forward to see what they have to incentivize me to keep that game. It's still on my phone and it's not going to be deleted anytime soon. But I kind of set up my phone in such a way that I'll have like one page of like single icon apps, you know, and then another page of folders. And so if they don't want this game to be relegated to the games folder, they're going to need to do something.
Yeah. Soon. Folders or game graveyards.
Yeah, exactly.
I think this would be a nice time to release Mewtwo.
Yeah, dude. Oh, see, they need to have that's the other thing is they need to have those events, right? The legendaries.
If there was even an event for the three birds, you know, so many people have talked about that, you know, about the three birds and how they relate to the teams. Now it's time to do that.
That is a really good point. Now would be the perfect time to do it again, because all the kids are getting back into school and everything. Now would be a perfect time to do it. Absolutely.
Wonder how much of that 20%, by the way, I just thought of this was how much of that 20% were the people they banned?
That's a good point. I wouldn't be surprised if a couple thousand had been banned, or maybe more even, but they've been banning people for GPS falsifying. That was the main reason, right? What else was there? I think that was it.
I think that's the primary reason, either GPS spoofing to get the continental Pokemon outside of your continent. Sometimes they set up scripts so it make it look like you're walking even though you're not,
right?
Things like that. And that still all classifies under the same umbrella. You know, I have a friend of mine who did get banned because of GPS spoofing. He said he actually caught a Mr. Mime or hatched one. And my son actually got banned, and I, you know, he's on an iPhone with beta 10 and you can't GPS spoof that I know of.
Weird. And he got banned?
Yeah, so I had him put in a ban appeal form.
Yeah, I wonder if they had, like, that's not the first I've heard either. I think their algorithm may be a little bit too liberal. There may be a little too many false positives.
He was in the low 20s, like 22, because, you know, he and the friends would go out and just grind. And
yeah.
So, you know, he's playing the game legitimately as far as I know.
Right.
I don't think he, you know, as far as I know, in an Android phone you need to have root access in order to GPS spoof.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got the beta 10 of iOS and you can't root that yet,
right?
There is no jailbreak for an iOS that hasn't officially launched yet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know, dude. It's interesting. I'm looking forward to when. Okay, let's. Oh, geez, Bloomberg. Why? Well,
before I even started playing.
Stop, Bloomberg. Geez, Bloomberg. Why do you have autoplay? There's a. Let's make a quick guess. When do we see the next significant? Like yesterday, they had that appraisal thing, and they've been kind of adding little things here and there. When do we see the first real infusion of like new functionality into this game? What do you guys think?
Oh,
you have an idea yet, Marty, or do you have to think?
I was going to say probably like mid-October.
Oh, geez, they cannot.
I know they can't wait. I know they can't afford to wait that long. But when you were talking about, you know, like the stuff with the, you know, just the add-ins they've got now, and of course, training and or trading and battling. Like one of the things that came to my mind was that the whole "you need to go out and catch some more" kind of sounds like a big fat excuse to me. It sounds like that the reason they don't want to do that right now is because it's broke and they don't know how to fix it. And so I would say that that's probably going to be the next thing, at least one of those, either trading or battling. I don't think we're going to get them both at the same time.
Mm.
I think I agree with you, though. I'm going to give them a little bit more time. I was actually going to say near the first week of November, you know, and then they can use that to really do a marketing push on Sun and Moon.
Yeah, they are definitely going to need to do something before Sun and Moon for sure. Yeah, I wonder. Well, and didn't they say that at some point, and maybe this is just like, yeah, we're going to do that eventually. We don't know when. Like, there's going to be some integration between Pokemon Go and Pokemon Bank. Didn't they say that as well in the E3 roundup thing?
I don't remember.
I remember. I think so. I remember hearing that. Because you would be able to transfer your Pokemon from Pokemon Go to Pokemon Sun and Moon. I could be wrong about that, but I seem to think that was a... Yeah, Pokemon Go, transfer to Pokemon Sun, Moon. I don't know. Anyways, we'll see. Yeah, original Pokemon... never mind. We'll see. Anyways, let's hit it. Any other thoughts on that before we head into what we've been playing?
Nah.
Nope. Nah. All right, let's head into what we've been playing. Wow, that was... You know, I'm having this weird thing with my audio where the things coming out of my soundboard sound way louder than just about anything else. It's weird. But anyways. So, Marty, you are our guest on this show, so we'll let you tell us what you've been playing first.
Well, I've been, like I said earlier, I've been playing a lot of Overwatch.
Nice. That game is so good, dude. It's so good.
I did not expect it to be that good.
Yeah. Did you watch the new short?
I have not got to see it yet.
Oh, dude. It's so good.
I love Bastion, so
it's so good. You never thought that you would cry for a little PTSD robot, but that is totally what he is. It's so good.
That's awesome. So yeah, Overwatch, and I've also been playing because of Pokemon Go, so this is a good thing from Pokemon Go. I downloaded Pokemon Y and have been playing it. I had Pokemon X originally on a physical copy, and just got about a third of the way into it and just dropped it because it just sat for so long that when I came back to it, I had no idea what I was doing or where I was or where I'd been. So I'm going through it, and I'm cheating. I'm going through it with a guide because
I always do that, dude.
I've never finished a Pokemon game.
Really?
Really. So even counts Pokemon Yellow that I downloaded on the 3DS earlier this year. So I really want to finish. I'd love to finish it. Because the crazy thing about it is, even though like Y and X, I liked how they play and I like everything, but it didn't really grab me. There's something about Sun and Moon that it just has me super excited.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's just like the location or the art style with a lot of the, you know, Pokemon we're seeing, but it just, there's something about that has just really grabbed a hold of me. Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying to get done with Y before November. But I don't have a whole lot of time for video games right now for some reason. So 3DS is probably where I'm going to play games. My Wii U has – the only reason my Wii U gets turned on is because my son plays it.
Yeah. Yeah, I find that for me as well. Like lately, the Wii U is a Netflix machine more than anything lately. So
I will pick up Paper Mario and play it, but I'm moving on to NX.
Did you like Sticker Star, by the way?
No
hated
okay. it
you hated it
and I slogged through it just to finish it, just to say that I'd done it. And I tried to do it with with Paper Jam, and eventually I just quit.
Yeah, right on.
Jesse's progress reports on Twitter kind of helped with my decision because he would talk about parts I hadn't got to yet. Not spoilery, but just talking about how frustrated he was with them. And I was like, man, if he's that frustrated now, I'm going to break my 3DS in half when I get there.
Yeah, I think those were like maybe in the 2/3 through the game area.
The one that sticks out in my mind is the Bowser Jr. fight.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was crazy.
I'm not sad that I missed that game. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I'm just saying there better not be shiny stickers. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, like it could even be the same mechanic for you, I feel like. And as long as they're not shiny stickers, you're fine. Like, let them be like made out of cardboard or like foil or something. And you're like, whatever, as long as it's not shiny stickers.
Because I said it before, the shinies are like double the attack and double the defense. So if you don't know how to block their specific attacks, you are hosed.
Yeah, right on. Cool. Anything else, Marty?
No, that's about it, actually.
Right on. Are you excited for some, I guess the other game coming out next month is the Bony Spirits and Fleshy Souls?
Yes.
Yo-Kai Watch 2?
Yes, I'm very excited about that. And ironically, this is confession time. I have not finished the original Yo-Kai Watch.
Okay.
So I'm working on that. I have this terrible habit of getting 2/3 through a game, especially role-playing games. Me too. And dropping them. And that reminds me too, by the way, I'm playing I Am Setsuna on the PS4 and it is amazing.
Cool. What is it? I don't know if I've ever
It's been published by Square Enix, I think, and it's basically Chrono Trigger.
Oh, cool.
The battle mechanics are the same, but it's the storyline is you're this mercenary who gets hired to go kill a girl. Who you find out is a sacrifice basically she goes on a pilgrimage to rid the world of monsters. Her death equals peace for a set period of time. And so you kind of get wrapped up in her journey and you become part of her vanguard. And it's so good.
Nice.
That sounds like something I'd enjoy. I'll give that a try.
It's very good. It's $40 on PS4, but just the visuals are awesome. It very much reminds me of Chrono Trigger.
Cool.
And map system and everything. So nice. I highly recommend it.
Cool. I actually have a question about Yo-Kai Watch.
Okay.
So my son has played through, he's going into grade one. And my approach with that game is just like, okay, well, you don't really know how to read that well, but the best way to get you to read is to get you to read, right? So I'm just like, here, just play and we'll figure it out. Comparing to Pokemon X and Y, what is the reading level of Yo-Kai Watch? And the complexity and all that kind of stuff.
The necessary reading is about the same, but the map system for the game actually has – like it tells you exactly where to go.
Okay.
So like if like important plot points and things, there'll be arrows on the map and they'll tell you what to go do. But for the most part, you know, the reading is pretty much details. Now, is it a game that he could come back to later and fill in, you know, and kind of like play as an older kid and go, oh, wow, I totally didn't know this was part of the game. Yeah. But I kind of took the same approach with my children.
Yeah.
For role-playing games, they'd be like, but Dad, we want to play, you know, especially Paper Mario.
Yeah.
But there's so much text to wade through in a Paper Mario game or a Mario and Luigi game, you know? Yeah. And that's like my parents bought him what's the one with the babies? The Mario and Luigi Double Trouble?
Partners in Time?
Maybe. It was on
Partners in Time sounds right.
Okay,
It was on the DS, not the 3DS. He'd be like, I can't tell you how many times he's been like, Daddy, I need you to read this to me.
Yeah.
I need you to read this to me. Or I'll just watch him and like, he'll fight a boss and there'll be like a bunch of, you know, important texts and he's just hitting the A button.
Yeah.
Beep, 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 scrolling. So like, I feel like there's some parts where you would have had to do some minor hand holding, but if he understands the battle concept, if he understands like the whole get them all thing, then I think he'll probably have fun with it, probably more than Pokemon.
Yeah. Well, because that's,
there isn't such a steep learning curve.
There would be several points in because in Pokemon, for the most part, it's just keep going down the road, right? And then find, if you get to a town, find the gym, fight it, and keep moving, right? And every once in a while in Pokemon X and Y, he would keep doing that, and eventually he'd be like, Dad, these guys won't let me through. And of course, it's like the some construction worker saying, oh, there's a blackout in Lumio City, gotta go. And you know, it's like, oh, okay, well, obviously there's some plot point that he is not... He's some story point that he hasn't done yet. And I'm like, oh crap. Okay. Well, now I got to figure out how many badges does he have? Where is he in the game? Like,
right.
And so well, like, I kind of got to go to like a walkthrough.
Yeah. Like in Yo-Kai Watch, there is kind of a story that builds on each chapter, but that's the cool part with it versus Pokemon is each of the games, the game is broken up into chapters. So, and those chapters usually end after a major boss fight.
Right.
So, like if you beat, there's a boss, like the very first big boss of the game is called Slimeamander, and it's like this big, like lizard thing with eyeballs in its mouth. Like, and it has all these different mouths, like tentacles, and you have to like use a pin to pinpoint your damage on the eyeball.
Okay.
So it will take it out. But after you beat it, it's like chapter two.
Okay, cool.
So like you could go find in a guide very quickly, you know, like especially if you looked at the task that you had to do, because that task is always going to be scrolling on the bottom of the screen.
Right.
Go find Jibanyan. Go find the doctor. Go find, you know, collect more blah, blah. It's going to be there.
Okay, so then it could even just be like, Dad, what does this say? And then he just goes and does it.
Yep.
Okay, cool.
Yep. Nice. I really feel like that is kind of the introduction. It is skewed more toward the younger player, obviously. But I think they're hilarious. So I still really, really, I don't know. I just dig that theme for some reason.
Mm-hmm. This second one I'm interested in for sure. I
would play the first one if it were me, and it was just my advice for it is I'd play through the first one because apparently, even though I haven't finished it, it doesn't take all that long.
Okay.
And you can kind of grind through it with – you can just kind of fix on six Jokai and kind of grind through it with all of them without really doing a lot of variation except for the ones you have to catch for the story. So – because there are some you're going to catch because of the story.
Right.
But – I'm doing – apparently my Yokai are doing just fine because there's not many battles we run into that I don't – you know, that takes me too much to overcome.
Cool.
I did get stuck on a boss for a while. There is there's one part where you're in the school and you have to fight this this spider thing. And the way that you have to fight it is you have to get it flipped over. But just to get it to flip over is so tough. And it's kind of random, like its attacks and everything.
Mm.
I even tried leveling up and doing all that and grinding kind of, and it still didn't do anything. So it just, eventually I just toughed it out and there, you know, got a victory.
Nice. Right but on.
For the most part, I think, you know, that could even be one. I wish that there was a way to take 3DS games and put them on a TV. I mean, I've always, and I think NX is going to solve some of that, hopefully.
Yeah.
There's a lot of games that I've wished. I wish I could put this on TV and me and my kids could play together instead of huddling around this little tiny 3DS screen.
Yeah, totally. No, I totally agree. Because then you can take it on the go, but also play it on the TV, I think.
Right.
If that's true, which can you imagine, by the way, imagine a world right now where they come out and it's literally just another console. It's not a portable console hybrid. Like, I think there would be a lot of people who'd be really pissed off.
Like, imagine right now with the whole Pokemon Go thing, if they came out and they said, hey, this is going to be a portable console hybrid, and we're launching with a brand new Pokemon game that plays on both.
Yeah. Well, then everybody would lose their mind.
Holy crap.
Everybody will lose their minds. Yeah, right on.
Chasing the rabbit.
Man. Oh, hey, that's cool. That's good to know. I'm interested. Just cause with the new one coming out, it's piqued my interest for sure. So, right on. Jesse, what have you been playing, man?
Okay, well, before I get there, going back to I Am Setsuna, apparently Mikey Burgett is listening in because he sent us a few tweets. He says that the game is awesome. Tokyo RPG Factory _Enix made it. He got it the day of release and loves it. It's definitely a spiritual successor to Chrono Trigger.
Cool.
It'll make you feel like you're playing your Super Nintendo again.
I will appreciate that. So I'll definitely be looking into that. Okay. So speaking of getting 2/3 into RPGs, that's exactly where I'm at in Tokyo Mirage Sessions. I am nearing the end of Chapter 4's intermission. And my understanding is there are 6 chapters in the game. So that's, I'm kind of gearing up toward the end of it. Hopefully it doesn't take too much longer to finish it.
Sweet.
I'm like 41 hours into this game.
Oh, jeez.
So then another game that I picked up, you know, when Thursday morning when we get the press release for the digital releases, I like to look at the really bottom where it just says also releasing, where there's no marketing push or anything. That just, oh, here's the game. Sometimes we get some interesting games. Sometimes we get a bunch of crap. But this last week, we got a game called Kingdoms Item Shop for the 3DS.
What? Okay.
My first thought was, oh, this sounds like Resiteer. You know, a game I played maybe 6 years ago on Steam. The premise is, you know, you're in a world similar to an RPG world. You know, normally in RPG worlds, you are the hero. You go into the item shop and you buy what you want to buy and sell what you want to sell. So this flips it. So you are the item shop owner and the heroes come into your shop to buy what you're selling. And so you have to go on quests. Of course, you can't fight very well. So you have to hire the heroes to fight for you. You collect the loot, which then you can sell, or you can, there's a crafting system. So you can turn it into other items that can be sold.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much everything, as I'm playing this, I'm thinking, Resiteer did this so much better.
This sounds like
Resiteer did this so much better.
Oh, okay. Well, this sounds like what was the? There wasn't there like a rhythm game on the eShop that's kind of like this, where you're the weaponsmith.
Yeah, and that was actually good. That was pretty fun for a pseudo rhythm game, and I think I played that to the end.
Cool.
But this I'm not going to play to the end. You know, in fact, I probably will go back to Resiteer. And so I would recommend anyone who's thinking about this, I just say, go play Resiteer. It's probably cheaper.
Nice.
It's at least better.
That's awesome.
That's all I have.
Right on, man. Well, I went onto the eShop last week after talking about the Sega 3D Classics sale. And first off, I looked at a few of them and I was like, hey, Afterburner 2, I've never really played that before. That looks interesting. And I bought it and oh my gosh, I suck at that game. I don't know if either of you have ever played it, but it's like one of those, it's like a super fast paced, like fighter jet game. It looks really great in 3D, but it is so fast.
So now that you've played it, is this like the old arcade version?
It's, well, the actual, you know how there's like the little logo at the beginning of, you know, before you even launch the game, like on the home screen, actually is like the old sit down arcade cabinet for the logos.
I'm thinking these are ports of the arcades as opposed to being a Genesis port of the arcade and you're getting a port from the Genesis version.
Yeah, I think it's whatever.
And I sucked at all of those Sega arcades. So it's just...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I've been playing Outrun 3D just because I always loved like I remember playing it as a kid, Outrun.
Yeah.
And it's I'm terrible at it.
Yeah.
I mean, like I can make it through like maybe 3 legs of the race, you know, before I just time runs out because I've killed those people so much. I mean, have you ever played that game? Like you're driving down the road and you have a wreck.
Oh, man.
And they get thrown out of the car. And then they just kind of run back.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, I played that one. It's not very good. I'm not very good. It's not that it's not very good. And then I've started playing this. I don't know if this is going to get music. Where's the music here? I don't know if you can hear it.
Yeah.
You know what this is?
Is this Golden Axe?
No. That's the set. That is a bunch of dolphins. Echo the Dolphin. If you haven't played Echo the Dolphin, you play as spoiler Echo the Dolphin, and
no way,
yeah, and basically, so it's like a, I don't know, like a not really a platformer, but pretty much, right? Here's the That's a tornado. Got some sweet music here.
I remember having this game on Sega Genesis.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And
it making me feel kind of weird. Like, it's eerie.
It is very eerie. It almost, honestly, I feel like the closest thing, not necessarily, I feel like the closest thing to this game on the NES is Super Metroid. Not necessarily in like the shootiness or whatever, but the mood and this, it's very exploration heavy. Mm-hmm. It really feels a lot like Super Metroid. And like if Samus was a dolphin.
Well, and the end boss was an alien.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Both games.
Yeah. And so it's super interesting. I'm not very far into it. And I remember owning it as a kid, but I was like, how old was I? Maybe 8.
I was terrible at it.
Right. Like I was, it is not a game for little kids.
No.
And so for me, I never really got very far into it, but, I'm excited to keep playing it because the music alone, man, like it's just, there's something about that old Genesis sound chip is just super good. The music is super eerie and weird, like you said, Marty. And
I always preferred the Genesis version of Mortal Kombat, the original one.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was something about that music, you know, and just, and of course it was the blood at the time, you know, it was like, or Genesis has blood.
Yeah.
And the Super Nintendo doesn't, but I don't know that I agree with you about the Sega Genesis sound chip, man. It had some classic.
Yeah.
The Sonic music from all the games is good, but it just had some weird, I don't know how to describe it, eerie, you know,
yeah,
tones that it can produce.
Yeah, it's very weird, but so I'm looking forward to playing more of that. And then finally, of course, I've been playing Metroid Prime Federation Force. Justin and I got together, I think it was last Friday, and recorded a little episode. Where you can actually go back. It's a bonus episode on the feed. And it's literally just the audio of me and Justin playing the game. I don't know if either of you guys actually, listened to it, but
I have not.
Okay. Marty, did you listen to,
I didn't get a chance to, but like I told you earlier, I think you guys, you know, just your enthusiasm for the game lately
it's
kind of convinced me that I maybe need to try it.
It's surprising. It's surprising how much, I think because everybody's expectations were so low, and reviews have been all over the place. I have seen like IGN gave it a 5.9, whereas like Nintendo World Report, I think gave it a 9 out of 10, and saying like, this is like, got some of the best music. Like I've seen some things that people taking it too far on the other side as well. I'd say it's a solid, I mean, I'm not super far into it yet, but my experience is like, it's a solid, I don't know, 8.0, you know, like it's good. It's not blow your mind. But it's good. It is a Metroid Prime game. I think it delivers on the franchise. It delivers on the feel of the Metroid universe. I think all of that, they actually do really well. The biggest issue, I think, in my mind is, so far in sort of how I've been thinking about it, is that this is still very similar to, the control scheme is different, but it's similar to Metroid Prime Hunters, where you're playing a first-person shooter with photorealistic graphics on a portable that is really not designed to go as far as it needs to go in order to pull this off entirely. It's not, you know, the graphic style is, I think we said in our bonus episode, the chibi art style initially is a little bit jarring, and it especially was jarring for a reveal, right? But once you get used to it, you realize why they're doing it. And I think they even said it in the, I can't remember when it was, but they said it in
other some, than because this is a 3DS.
Well, that's the thing, right? Is that the 3DS kind of necessitates a chibi art style, because otherwise, if it was actual normal dimensions and you saw something across the, you know, across the room from you in the game, you wouldn't know what it was because its head's not big enough, or, you know, you don't get as much detail in the important parts of the character. So yeah. Having a bigger head, bigger arms. I remember
some people not liking the similar art style with like Persona Q. mm-hmm. with a chibi version of the characters that they know from Persona 3 and 4. But again, as you said, once you're into the game, you forget it.
Yeah, you forget it because that's actually just part of the game, right? And one of my favorite parts of this game is I didn't realize that they were going to have this sort of collectible skin sort of thing. So you have your regular mech, but as you go through the missions and you unlock medals for doing so, like hitting certain milestones in the levels and reaching certain scores, you unlock medals, which then unlock skins. And so you can kind of, when you go online, you can actually kind of choose the skin that you like. So there's one that has this real cool sort of cooled, it's like a cooled lava sort of look. It reminds me of like the Thing from Marvel Comics, from Fantastic Four. So you basically look like, you look like this orange rocky sort of mech that you like. It's just literally a paint job, but there's probably, I don't know how many skins, I'd say probably maybe over a dozen, maybe like 15 or 20 skins that you can collect. And like, those are fun to kind of work towards as well. And it's really fun. And the single player as well is really, what's the word I'm looking for? I guess it's better than Triforce Heroes, which isn't saying much, but Triforce Heroes, my concern going into this was it was going to be a first-person shooter version of Triforce Heroes. And that is true, but it's also not true, because the level design plays out in such a way that in Triforce Heroes, there was a lot of stuff that you had to do in multiplayer where you had to coordinate with your teammates in such a... So, like, you had to stack, or you had to all three of you hit a thing at the same time, or like all these different things that as soon as you go in and try and do a single player, it's almost impossible to do it. Whereas this one, it's a lot easier. Like, you, instead of having to coordinate everything, it's faster if you go into a room and there are four different things to do and you each go into a different direction and flip a switch or move a thing over, like push a ball into a hole. It's faster to do it with four people because each person can do one of them. But if you're playing single player, you still can get it done. You just have to go around to each one and do it and then move forward. And it doesn't feel like you're being punished necessarily or being asked to do something that is nearly impossible. The game also provides you with some power-ups when you're playing in single or really anything less than four players. You can use a special mod chip, which can give you the mod chip system basically will give you like extra capacity to carry ammo or increased damage from your charge beam or different things like that. But if you're playing solo, there's a solo mod, which doubles your, I think it doubles your damage and halves enemy damage when you're playing. So that makes it a lot easier for you to get through a level without dying. In addition to that, less than four. So let's say you have two characters, then there will also be two drones available, which basically are like little robots that follow you around that float behind you and will shoot at enemies. So if you're playing single player, you have three of these drones that follow you around, and they also will shoot at whatever you're shooting at. And so that also kind of makes up for that lack of other players on your team. So I really like it's fun to play single player. It's fun to play multiplayer. It just like Triforce Heroes, you really need to have Skype in order to do the multiplayer like 100% successfully. Me and Justin did that and it was awesome. And there are some like voice things and whatever, but it's pretty good. So it's doable even with just the pre-programmed voice cues that you can use as well. So
two thoughts about Federation Force. I saw somebody on Twitter say that Federation Force was the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. of Metroid.
Yeah. Justin said that in our review.
And I thought that was very good.
Yeah.
That was a very good way of saying it. But, you know, it's funny that you say it was an 8.0. because I was thinking that when you're in the middle of a drought of games and news and future plans from Nintendo, a solid 8.0 becomes a 10.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, absolutely. And that is exactly why I think the part of the reason why this game feels as good as it does, because it's like, well, it's either this or you can play nothing.
Or go download Pokemon Y off the
eShop. Exactly.
Trying to go back through it again. I don't know. I guess I'm going to have to pick it up. I did not and have not for some reason yet downloaded the Blast Ball demo. So maybe I should try that first to see if I actually like the control scheme.
Well, the demo's gone now, isn't it? Or at least the servers are down.
Well,
I don't know. I don't know if the Blast Ball demo is.
That was the plan. The plan was that the demo servers for the demo was going to go down when the game launched.
Yeah, it may still, if it's still available, I think you can do local play or single player.
True.
For Blast Ball. And by the way, I played Blast Ball. Did you play any of the Lucio Ball in Overwatch, yes. Marty? Yeah, it's that, but slower.
Oh, well.
Well, okay. I guess claustrophobic, maybe. It's a smaller arena, so I mean that's kind of nice.
Right.
So you're not running halfway across the field. It's fun, but it's not, you know, it's not Rocket League, so, which is basically what the game is as well, right? It's just like shooting soccer. So anyway, so yeah, that's what I've been playing. I guess one final thing that I've been playing is I resubscribed to World of Warcraft and bought the Legion expansion. I am back into this game is better than it's been in a long time. And I think I've said this on the show before. If there's one, video game company that I love as equally as Nintendo, it's Blizzard. And so for World of Warcraft to have a new expansion, which is coming out next Tuesday, I'm really excited for that expansion. There's a new class, which is really fun, and it should be a good time. So I just a couple of days ago did that. And
time to level grind again.
Yeah, time to level grind. You know, they've been doing there's this event in game right now where there's just so much experience that you can go through and level up all of your old characters, and it's awesome. So, good times. I'm playing. I haven't decided what I'm going to main yet, but I might main my new. You get like a level 100 boost, and I might main a shaman for now. I don't know. We'll see. Anyways, cool. So that's all I've been playing. Should we head into what do we got here? I guess our postman segment. Marty, do you have anything you want to talk about for the community spotlight? Anything specific?
No, I think we pretty much covered it. I was, you know, with the Super Nintendo turning 25 years old, the question I had and thought earlier about was, and you guys may have covered this on another episode, but what, you know, do you remember getting the Super Nintendo for the first time?
I never had a Super Nintendo. My friend did. I had a Genesis. But I remember the Christmas that I got my Genesis, and I remember, yeah. So, and that would have been around the same time, really. But
yeah, that was actually my senior year of high school, or at least it launched the summer before it. I was over at a friend's house, and I didn't know he had pre-ordered the system. At the time, I didn't know that was a thing. And then so he gets a phone call, and then he goes, "You got to go home. I have to go pick up my Super Nintendo." Like, what? I'm coming back next week.
That's awesome.
And on then the scales.
Because obviously I couldn't be at his house when he wasn't here. You know, I wasn't upset. It made perfect sense to me. I definitely, you know, I don't remember when I got my Super Nintendo. You know, I probably got it relatively quick after that because I didn't have a job at the time. So, you know, I've been working for 3 years at that point, so I had money. So I probably bought it pretty much right away as soon as I found it in the store.
Mm-hmm. I remember and this will make you feel good, Jesse. I was a sixth grader. And I remember one of my good friends, coming to school and telling me he had got one the night before. And I rushed home that day, you know, to tell my dad, like, did you know there's a Super Nintendo? Did you know that it's out right now? It's got Mario with it. You know, I had no clue about it, even though I guess I knew a little bit about it from reading Nintendo Power and everything. But about a couple weeks later, we were going to the dump near my house to take some trash. And my dad's like, hey, I dropped this bottle behind the seat earlier. Would you go get it? And I opened, you know, pulled down the seat in the back of his truck. And he was, and there was the Super Nintendo sitting there in the box. And he was like, is that what you wanted? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, well, I hope you enjoy it.
That's awesome.
That was my story of getting my Super Nintendo. And I remember staying up. That was one night, like, my parents are like, we don't care when you go to bed. We know you're happy about it. But I have this very distinct memory of having a hard time finding games for it.
Really?
And when it first came out, like, that the games were not that, like, for some reason they were having trouble stocking the games. And I remember the second game I got for it was Populous.
What? I don't even
like that game. That was a fun game.
It was fun. I would just build up the civilization.
Once you knew what you needed to do, that was kind of vague. You had to figure that out on your own.
But Mario came with it. I got Populous, and then a little while later I got F-Zero, and that game changed my life.
Nice. Oh, by the way, I saw something, a story we didn't cover today. Before we get into our voicemail, we have one voicemail today. I saw something that the developers of Fast Racing Neo are working. They said something about how they're working with Nintendo on a future title. So I don't know what that means. I don't know if that means that we've got like an actual F-Zero game coming now that they proved to Nintendo that they can do it. But let's hope.
All I hope is this, that it's a little bit easier than Fast Racing Neo.
Oh, yeah. Seriously.
I played it for about a week and gave up on it because I just could not.
It was so hard.
I was not good at it.
Yeah, that was rough. Right on. Very cool. Let's head into some real quick listener mail. Right on. So let me find the thing here. So we've got our quick voicemail. We don't have any emails this week, just one voicemail. So we will play this and we'll see you on the other side.
Hello, Nintendo guys. This is Frank again. I was on vacation, so we're listening to the podcast, which relaxed the sun. So catching up on you guys, but saw that a rumor that Kingdom Hearts 3 would be coming to NX, possibly, and that got me very excited. Just a rumor, because that's like the one game franchise that I would love to be on a Nintendo, but part of it is, but not all the games are. And was wondering what game franchise from other platforms would you love to be that never really was on a Nintendo home console. And also, I wanted to say thank you for the suggestion for New Leaf Animal Crossing for 3DS.
Oh, did it stop playing?
I think it...
It stopped playing. Anyways, so he goes on to say that he's considering getting a second 3DS for his fiance so that they both can play Animal Crossing New Leaf together because he's surprised at how awesome it was. So we'll cover that one first. You're welcome. Animal Crossing New Leaf, totally awesome. It is now a Nintendo Select, or it's going to be soon. It's part of Nintendo Selects, like the $20 deal. So go and do that if you don't have that yet. But also I would just point you to the really good new Nintendo 3DS bundle that is out that I am actually like, it has me because it's the first one of the regular small size 3DS that is, I don't know how much it is in the States. It's $199 up here, which is not bad at all for a 3DS plus a game. So
I'd imagine it'd be $169. That's what the original 3DS is sold for.
Yeah. So
is that the one that comes with Mario?
With 3D Land. Yeah. Yeah, so that's out. That's a brand new bundle that's out. It comes with two face plates, 3D Land, and that. So,
the new 3DS XL is $200 here.
Oh, is it? It's like $230 or something like that here. So yeah, well, first of all, congratulations on enjoying Animal Crossing, and I'm glad you're enjoying that. So going to his question, are there any, Kingdom Hearts 3 is rumored to be coming to NX. Is there anything else? Are there any other game series that are from other consoles that we would like to see on the Nintendo home console? Jesse, let's start with you.
I was going to say Final Fantasy, but I think that's kind of been soft confirmed, or at least that
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
At least it, you know, I think Final Fantasy 15 has been the one that's more likely to come out, and then there's been talk about the 7 remake also getting an NX treatment, and then the Dragon Quest 11 has also been confirmed for NX.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're redoing 10 again. We talked about that a few weeks ago. That'll be Japan only, though. So I don't. There isn't many franchises that I pay attention to. Most of them, you know, end up, you know, or most of the, at least the ones that my son plays, you know, mostly involve shooting, and I'm like, okay, I'm not interested in that.
Yeah. What about you, Marty?
God, the actual first one that came to mind, and this may be a silly one, is I would love to see the new rebooted Tomb Raider,
come to
Nintendo consoles, especially since Rise of the Tomb Raider has not, yet released on PS4. I would rather, Brandon from, Reactor Radio and I had this conversation a while ago as friends that, When the Wii U was coming out and we couldn't understand the lack of third-party support as it kind of evaporated. And I was like, you know, I want people to understand I would rather play your game on a Nintendo console because that would decrease the amount of money or decrease the chance that I would buy another console.
Yep.
You know, because I'm going to buy anything Nintendo puts out. So, you know, I think it would be worth it. You know, we've talked a lot about maybe, you know, the possibility that Nintendo might go back and re-release some first party titles like Smash Brothers and Mario Maker on the NX when it comes out, probably with some upgrades or something. But man, what about I've got Overwatch on the brain.
Yeah,
Overwatch, dude. Would be if I could take that with me and play it.
Oh, on, man,
a portable.
Oh, and then
put it on my TV. Holy crap, dude. Oh,
my life would be over.
That would be a good one.
That'd be amazing. That,
any shooter. I mean, any popular shooter I think would be good. And two, I would love to see the NX get some iterations of the yearly sports franchises simply because, dang it, I want Nintendo to do good.
Yeah.
You know, I want the buzz to be there. And if they're not getting the Madden or the 2K or whatever –
Yeah, I was really upset. Even though I haven't played a Madden game since the Super Nintendo days. The fact that the series started on the Super Nintendo and the Genesis, mm-hmm. and I was really upset when, you know, well, 2 years ago now, they didn't put one out for the Wii U.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, I was just poking around too while you guys were talking about this. The Mario Land bundle. The 3DS doesn't release until the 26th, which I think is that this Friday?
Really? Because I think they're already for sale up here. So
Nintendo.com says available 8/26, and it's $149.99 with Mario 3D Land pre-installed.
Freaking! So
it's not a card or anything.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
And the two cover plates, and that is really like that is the 3DS that the new 3DS that I wanted.
Yes, if that would have been the one that launched in whenever it was last year, I totally would have gotten that one.
I really wish that faceplate was confirmation of 3DS Mario Maker, but pipe dream.
Yeah, totally. I guess the only one, I don't know. I haven't had another console for so long. I agree with your Overwatch sentiment. I also. Ever since E3, where this new PS4 Spider-Man game was announced, I would want that on NX, but yes. Because it's being funded by Sony, there's no way it's going to be like that's a Sony exclusive, obviously. I actually went and pulled out. I don't have a ton of GameCube games, but I do have the Ultimate Spider-Man game for GameCube. I think it was on like PS. It would have been on PS2 and stuff like that too. That game was awesome. If you've never played Ultimate Spider-Man, and it's based on the comic series, not on the TV show, because that wasn't a thing back then. It's awesome. That was a really fun game. So
I remember picking that one up, and I didn't get very far in it.
Yeah, I liked it at least. But it's, yeah. So any sort of like Spider-Man Marvel game, I think would be awesome. So we'll see if that actually happens, but I'm always down for Marvel games. So yeah, with that, I think that about does it. Of course, if you want to send us your emails and your, you know, any sort of stuff like that, you can email us nintendodads@gmail.com and we will play them. We will play them or we will read them. Either one of those. So of course, as well, just as some reminders, as we round out the show, we are playing Castlevania Circle of the Moon for Game Boy Advance. We're playing that for this month's Retro Rewind. For patrons, we do have the art from Adam Leonard from Mega Dads. We have that art that will be available. If you don't have it already, then you will have it soon. So that's it looks pretty awesome this month. Yeah. So, Jesse, can you think of anything else as we kind of wrap up the show here?
I think we covered everything.
Right on. Well, hey, Marty, thanks again, man, for being on the show. It's been great having you. Why don't you tell everybody where they can find what you're up to?
Okay. So before I do that, I want to make a plea to the patrons.
Yeah, sure.
Can I do that?
Yeah.
Guys, please vote for Mega Man 2. It's only the greatest game on the NES.
What
is it deserves a retro rewind.
What are they at currently? Where are we at here? Let's take a look. I haven't actually looked lately to see where the vote is.
I need a Mega Man victory because that's the only victory he's getting, period, anytime soon.
Oh, man. Let's take a quick look on the polls here. We've got a few more days. I think we've got about a week left. So if you haven't voted yet, patrons, go and vote. And if you aren't a patron, patreon.com/NintendoDads, even $1 a month will get you a vote in for the Retro Rewind.
For Mega Man 2.
Here's the link here. Current results. Oh, dude. You are going to be a sad panda. I'm sorry. Currently, Zelda 2 has 55% of the vote.
Wow.
For next month, which is really surprising to me. Zelda 2, man. So if you are a patron, go over and vote. The votes for this month are Zelda 2, Mega Man 2, Super Mario World, The Mysterious Murasame Castle, and Double Dragon 3.
There's only one logical choice.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it. There's only one logical choice. We deserve it.
Oh,
Mega Man deserves it. Zelda 2 can get out of here. That's
Zelda
2, game.
Man. We'll take a look about that.
I'm sorry. I'll do what you originally wanted me to now.
No, that's fine. That's cool.
You can find me on Twitter @MartyEstes. I tweet about all kinds of stuff, probably games and all kinds of stuff. So you feel free to follow me there. I blog occasionally at MartyEstes.com. And hopefully, maybe sometime soon you'll hear another podcast from me or someone else if time frees up. So until then, I'll just come back when you guys invite me.
Right on, man.
I love hanging out on your show. I love you guys and your work. I'm a patron, so I recommend you, if you're listening out there and you're not a patron, you need to support these guys each month. It really does help. And they say $1 a month, and $1 a month helps. So and they did not pay me to say that. I'm not getting any patron money this month. So, but. Vote for Mega Man 2. That's all I'm saying. I'm going to tweet it. Hashtag Mega Man 2.
Oh, that's amazing. Right on. And very cool as well. So, yeah, thanks again for being on the show, man. It's been awesome.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Anytime.
As well, I kind of teased something on Twitter this week a couple of days ago. Maybe it was yesterday. I don't know. I teased there is another podcast coming this month, probably in the next week or two. You'll hear more about a new podcast coming from Zach Erickson, and another a friend of mine. We're going to be starting a new podcast, and yeah, so more on that in the coming weeks. But I'm going to be doing two podcasts now, which is, you know, Marty, you're getting out of the game, and I'm getting more into the game, and also my wife is due in like 2 weeks or something, and yeah, and I'm starting school again. Like, I don't know what I'm doing, but
it's PlayStation Bros, isn't it?
No, it's, yeah, it is. Yeah, it's PlayStation Bros. No, it's filling out my description on social media for the longest time. My bio has always said mental health and geek culture. And my new podcast is going to flesh out the other side of the mental health and geek culture. Nintendo Dads has geek culture. You know, we kind of cover that part of it, but the mental health part,
that's cool.
So
you're bringing back your previous one, or is this going to be a different iteration?
It's going to be a different, I think we might keep the same name. We're still figuring out all the details, but, it's going to be pretty exciting. So stay tuned for that. And we'll figure all of that out. So yeah, with the music coming in, I think that's a show. I think that wraps it up. So if you want to follow us on all of the social medias, you can definitely do that. You can go over to Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at Nintendo Dads. You can email us, nintendodads@gmail.com. You can find all of our videos over at Twitch or YouTube. Just look for Nintendo Dads. You'll find us at /live to Nintendo Dads on Wednesday night. And you will find us around 9 o'clock Mountain Standard Time, 9:30-ish, somewhere around there. Follow us on Twitter, and you'll see the link there. You can call in and leave us a voicemail at 929-25-NDADS. That's 929-256-3237. Huge thanks to OC Remix for music throughout the show, as well as to Carter Johnson and Adam Leonard of Mega Dads for our amazing artwork. Go and check those guys out. They're amazing. As well, if you want some sweet Nintendo Dads merch, go over to tiny.cc/Nintendo Dads store. And if you want to change the world, which you do, of course, go over to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review, written reviews are even better. And if you want to subscribe, go over to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, or of course, VGTribune.com. For me, for Jesse, and for Marty, and the sickly Justin, we'll see you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Nintendo Dads.